Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Let me remind you that I was born and raised on the East Coast of these United States. So I beg your indulgence if this text reminds me of a little piece of doggerel designed to help children and adults too, I expect, remember how to spell Connecticut, as in the state or the Connecticut River. That river flows through New England. It connects the state of New Hampshire and the state of Vermont. Actually, it is the border between the two. And flowing south, it flows across the states of Massachusetts and Connecticut, cutting them into eastern and western Massachusetts and eastern and western Connecticut. The river connects and it cuts. Hence, Connecticut. The Connecticut River both binds and divides at the same time and without altering its course. If the Connecticut River flows across New England, binding and dividing, connecting and cutting, it may serve as a partial model for the cross and the role of Christ in the Christian's life. For us, the cross holds life together and gives it meaning, but it also separates what is false and evil from what is just and good. It challenges the evil in the human heart that needs salvation, and it expresses the goodness of the God who gives himself to save us. It represents judgment, and it represents grace. It divides people at the same time that it offers all peace and hope. It condemns and it blesses. And like the Connecticut River, it does both at the same time. So Jesus, in this morning's gospel, asks, Do you think I have come to give peace on the earth? No, he answers, but rather division. Now, I'll bet you did think he had come to bring peace. And well, you might, for the angels of that first Christmas morning are supposed to have promised as much. Yet one of the realizations you and I must face is the recognition of how little peace there has been in the world and in the church since that promise was first proclaimed. The New Century Dictionary defines peace variously as freedom from strife and dissension, or as concord or tranquility. Try these definitions on Syria, or Afghanistan, or Central America. Try them on the right to lifers, or the exponents of a woman's right to choose. Try them on the white supremacists, or on the Native Americans, or blacks, or Hispanics, or Jews, or gays, or the other whites, some of whom they have killed all over our country, as recently as a couple of weeks ago, to stop immigration or to start a race war. We used to translate the angel's proclamation, peace on earth, goodwill to men. More recently, it has been translated, peace on earth to men of goodwill, which limits the angel's liability considerably. It also makes room for Jesus' recognition that his ministry will, in no simple sense, bring tranquility, nor could it ever have been hoped it would in such a world as ours. The peace the angels promised is no simple peace. It is the peace that comes from having believed and done what you know is right. Whether it brings praise or blame, unity or conflict in its wake. It is the peace that enables you to live with yourself. It is peace bought at a price. The peace Jesus denies is not the peace that passes understanding, the peace that can be enjoyed in the midst of conflict. The peace he denies is this simple peace, the concord and tranquility the dictionary speaks of. If it is peace and quiet you are looking for, he says, his gospel is not the place to seek it. I come, he said, to cast fire on the earth. It sounds like he's saying, I come to stir up trouble. He isn't. What he is saying is, my coming is bound to stir up trouble. I have come to tell you the truth. But if you tell the truth, while some will stand with you, some will stand against you. In this fallen world, it cannot be otherwise. Those who believe will be at peace in their hearts, for their wills will conform to the will which governs all things. They will enjoy a harmony that all those who reject the truth will simply never know. But they will not necessarily have 3 square meals a day, or be loved by their neighbors, or even be allowed to live. The truth of Christ is like a fire. Its brightness shines in the darkness of our lives. So we welcome the light and will be enabled to see better by it. Others, stung by its brightness, will be blinded and turn away.
preferring the comfort of the dark. The truth of Christ is like a fire. It burns up what is passing and purifies what lasts. But some will flee the pain of the fire, preferring what is temporary, putting their trust in what they must finally lose. We seldom want to hear the truth. Rather, we usually want people to agree with us. Tell people what they want to hear, and you will have friends. Tell them the truth, and you take your chances. Jesus took his chances, and they led to discipleship for some and a cross for him. That is what he means when he says, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and would it were already accomplished." He did not like controversy and contempt any better than we do, yet he knew what he was called to be, and he was faithful to that calling. His baptism is his death, his baptism by fire. Baptism is to cleanse, to wash away the dirt of sin. A Christian's baptism following Christ is also a death and burial, a dying to evil by confession and repentance, unlearning the evil habits we have all developed. It is wrenching and painful, but it promises freedom and abundant life. I bring fire. I suffer baptism. I bring division. Jesus pursued his mission, and the Romans condemned him. The religious authorities conspired against him. His own brothers and sisters thought he was mad, but his disciples believed, and the poor of the land heard him gladly. In the human family, in the national family, and in the natural family, he brought division. He taught that all people were equally children of God and worthy of respect. Those that thought they were superior or better than others rejected that claim. They enslaved and segregated and imprisoned and scorned and shot and killed and hung those they hated and pushed to the edges of society. That was so then, it is so now. The whole history of the Christian mission is full of stories of families disowning members who cast their lot with Jesus. For a Jew whose religion and state were built on loyalty to the family, Jesus' words must have been threatening. Yet Jesus declares there is a higher family than the natural, the national, or the racial family, the family of God, which cuts across their boundaries, binding women and men to him. Once complimented by a well-wisher on how proud his natural family must have been of him, you will recall how he responded, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and sister and brother. They are my family." Life is full of competing loyalties. How can we tell where each belongs? Be first a member of the family of God, then you can get the rest of your priorities straight. But do not be surprised if those who have made other choices do not come with you.
Read the New Testament. Wherever Jesus went, individuals had to take a stand for him or against him. It was not something he chose. It was who he was. Now, as then, each of us must decide to accept or to reject him. He came that each of us should have that choice. He is right. The peacemaker brings conflict. Unless it was peace at any price he brings, it could not be otherwise. He brings division in the self as he calls our better nature to deny that which is base in us. He brings division in the family as each individual is called to make a choice. He brings division in the community as he stands for truth and compassion when others are invested in their own interests or the interests of their particular group. Once on the radio, on an evangelical station, I heard a ballad, the storyline of which ran something like this. The Roman Emperor Valerian ordered that all the imperial troops must sacrifice a pinch of incense to the emperor as a god, to demonstrate their loyalty and as a means of weeding out Christians in the army. Because Christians believed in only one God, they could not make this sacrifice to the emperor. At one base in Gaul, there were 23 men who refused to make the sacrifice. They were valiant soldiers, so their fellows and their officers tried to persuade them with all kinds of arguments to throw the little pinch of incense on the fire, like all the rest of them had done. Finally, they were told that if they would not sacrifice to the emperor as a god, they would be stripped of their armor and weapons and marched out into the middle of a frozen lake, there to meet their deaths. Accordingly, they were stripped and sent out, and as they went, they began to sing, 23 soldiers for Jesus, 23 soldiers for Christ, praising our Lord as we perish here on this lake of ice. The sun began to set, and toward evening, the captain ordered one of his men to build a hut near the Christians on the lake with a fire in a tripod so they could see it to welcome any of the men who changed their minds. Through the night, they sang as their comrades bivouacked on the shore listened. 23 soldiers for Jesus, 23 soldiers for Christ, praising our Lord as we perish here on this lake of ice. The night darkened, the cold increased, and the hours passed. Then, stealthily, one of their number, almost overcome with cold, could just be seen creeping toward the fire. The singing faltered for a moment, and then their voices could be heard, 22 soldiers for Jesus, 22 soldiers for Christ. At that moment, Claudius, the centurion, stood up by his campfire. For a minute he paused, then unbuckling his armor, he tossed it to the ground. And while his men watched, He ran out on the lake shouting, 23 soldiers for Jesus, 23 soldiers for Christ. This is the division Jesus brings, and this is his peace. He does not divide that some may lord it over others. He comes that men and women may know the truth and be freed by it, if they will. The fire he brings purges. The baptism he brings cleanses. The division, like the cross, cuts that it may cure. It divides that it may bind. Like surgery, it wounds that it might make whole.